You're listening to the weekly Parsha podcast with Ari Goldwag, recorded with Hashem's never ending assistance in Ramat Beit Shemesh, Israel 5786, 2026. This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kisavo. And at the end of our Parsha, we have a few interesting psukim. Torah, of course, in this week's Parsha gives us the blessings and the curses. If we keep the Torah, we get the blessings. If we steer away from Hashem, so then built into creation, is a device with which Hashem uses to bring us back and remind us of our true purpose. After that, the pasuk says, "Vayikra Moshe al kol Yisrael." This is in chapter 29, the first few verses. It's the very end of our parsha. Moshe calls to all of the people of Israel, "Vayomer alem." He says to them, "Atem reisem es kol asher osa Hashem leinechem eretz Mitzrayim." You have seen all that Hashem did in front of you, the land of Egypt, the far l'chol avodah v'l'chol artze. You saw what Hashem did to the nations, the nation of Egypt, to Pharaoh and all of his servants, his whole land. Hamazas hagedolos asher ro einecha. You saw the amazing miracles. Ha'isas ha'moisim hagedolim ahem. V'lenosan Hashem lachem lev l'das. So the pasuk says, Hashem did not give you the heart to understand intimately, being naim lerois, and eyes to see, v'znaim l'shmoya l'imazeh. Until this very day, you didn't have the eyes to see, you didn't have the ears to hear. So, Am Yisrael, although we saw these amazing miracles, but we did not yet comprehend the depth of what it means that Hashem takes care of us in that way. And Moshe says, and he's quoting Hashem, it seems, I walked with you, I led you 40 years in the wilderness. And this is the part of the pasuk that we're going to discuss. Your clothes never wore out, and your shoes never wore out from upon your feet. Lechem lo yachaltem, you did not eat bread. You didn't drink wine or intoxicating beverages. This is for you to know that I am Hashem your God. So Hashem took care of us in the Midbar. As we'll see, miraculously, we had all the food that we needed. That was the man, the manna. And we had clothing that didn't wear out, which was a miraculous thing. Think about it. The Jewish people left Egypt, 1.5 million people strong at least, maybe 2 million, 2.5 million. They didn't leave with any clothes. They only had the clothes on their back. How did they get through their time in the wilderness? So their clothes never wore out, the pasuk tells us. Their shoes never wore out. They wore the same shoes. So how does that work exactly? What is the idea behind it? What's the depth of it? So there's a medrash here in our parsha, which is actually a precise or almost precise quote of the medrash in Shir HaShirim. And I'd like to read it to you in Shir HaShirim, because there's a reference there. Besides for talking about the clothing that we're talking about that never wore out, the medrash also talks about a different set of clothing. Pasuk there in Shir HaShirim, it's in chapter 4, verse 11. It says, Nefes de teufnes is a sach kalo. There's a honey, a wonderful, the Song of Songs is a mashal, an analogy to the relationship between Hashem, God, and the Jewish people. But it's an analogy which is said over as a man to a woman. And the man describes his kala, describes his wife, his bride, as one who her lips drip with this wonderful neifes. Neifes is a type of sweet thing. Devash v'cholav tachas l'shoynich. Pasuk says that there is honey and milk under your tongue. There's a sweet taste, right? As Mufarshim explain here, the Medrash says that It has to do with our different Torah. It has to do with our study. It has to do with that which we do with our mouths. It has to do with the songs that we sing for Hashem. And then the pasuk says, "Vareach sal mosayich kareach levanim." And here's where we get to the clothing. We're going to talk about the clothing that never wore out of the Jews in the Midbar, what this represents. But then where did they get this clothing from, right? Where did it come from? So it refers to the smell of the clothing, which had a smell of Lebanon, which obviously, or Livanon, could be some kind of good-smelling spice. Now, before getting to understanding and looking at the sweet smell of the clothing of the Jewish people in the Midbar, right? They walked around, as Medrash is going to say, how did they clean their clothes? How did they get the smell of sweat out of their clothes? We're going to see that. But it had a good smell. It didn't have a negative smell. But there's another place where there are clothes that smell, which are referred to in the Torah. Yaakov Avinu comes into his father Yitzchak to steal the blessing of Esav. Isaac wants to give a blessing to Esav, his son Esau, the older brother. He sends him off to get some good food for him to get in the right spirit, the right mood, to be able to bring down the blessings upon Esav. Jacob is instructed by his mother Rivka to wear the clothing of Esav and to put it on and to trick his father into giving him the blessing, because the father Yitzchak couldn't see. He was blind. It's an interesting thing. Yaakov, he's wearing these clothes of Esav, but he also has on his neck and on his arms, in order to fool his father, he put the skin of a goat that's very hairy, so that if he would feel him, he would feel this goat skin, feel the hair. So the smell of goat hair, the smell of goat's skin is terrible smelling. So but the pasuk says that he smelled his clothes and seemed to be a beautiful smell. Like even shenichnas Yaakov Avinu nichnas imay Gan Eden, says the Medrash that when Yaakov Avinu came in, so in with him came a smell of the Garden of Eden. Yitzchak says, I can smell the smell of my son. The smell of my son is the smell of the field that Hashem has blessed. And the Medrash understands that the field that Hashem has blessed is actually a reference to the Garden of Eden. That's the field that Hashem has blessed. So Yaakov Avinu came in with a supernatural smell. Yaakov fools his father, but he doesn't really fool his father. His father smells, both figuratively and literally, smells that this is the right one to give the blessing to. This is the one where the Garden of Eden is going to be with this one, with this son. So he smells Yaakov. He smells the smell of Gan Eden. After Yaakov leaves, so Esav comes in. And he comes in, and what happens? Nichnas ima Gehenim. A smell of Gehenim, of hell, came in with him. Matam bozodai vayava kolin. When a person who's a Zayd, which is an intentional sinner, when he comes in, embarrassment walks in with him. Now, it's very interesting, right? Yitzchak is confused because when Yaakov came in, he smelled Gan Eden. When Esav comes in, he smells Gehenna. There's a smell to it. We'll see what that means conceptually. What was the smell? It was the smell of something burning. Gehenna is described as a place of fire, but the idea of the fire of Gehenna, as explained by the deeper sources, is a state of embarrassment. Right, when a person's embarrassed, so they feel humiliation, there's a fire that goes. We describe it as fire. So when Esav walks in, he brings with him a different smell. He brings a burning smell because he's not a righteous individual. He's a wicked individual. So he brings in with him, and the wicked people they're full of regrets. That's what Chazal say. It's a pasuk, I believe. They're full of regrets because they never fix the problems. They never look at the problems. They just, there's a darkness, a smell that accompanies them. That smell of the oven, the smell of burning that came in with him was the one who had tricked him. So, but let's come back to the pasuk. The smell of the clothing is the smell of Levanon, of Lebanon. And that's a good smell. It's the smell of whiteness, of Levanon is white, purity. Yaakov Avinu came in with purity. He was the righteous one. He was the one who would be the progenitor of the Jewish people. So when Yaakov comes in, so there's a good smell that accompanies him because he is the righteous one. And, you know, if you ever met somebody, you can tell, you can read it on them. You can see their righteousness and you can see their darkness. It kind of reeks when a person is a person who's focused on negativity, person who's focused on darkness, on dishonesty, a person who's dishonest, or that you can sense it. If you have a certain level of intuition, you can sense it. Yitzchak, all he had was his sense of smell. He couldn't see, but he could smell it. Yaakov walks in, he smells Gan Eden. Okay, so that's v'reach samasach, v'reach levonai. There's a beautiful smell that accompanies a person who's spiritual. And this is an incredible, really deep and important spiritual principle, like a concept, like a teaching, that when we do what's right, we smell good. When we do what's wrong, we smell bad, and we can smell it on ourselves. We know when we've done wrong, and it feels uncomfortable, doesn't sit well with us. I heard a particular spiritual teacher say, you know, think of the worst thing that you've ever done in your life. Think of the worst thing that you've ever done in your life. Now, the very fact that you consider it the worst thing shows that that's who you're not. That's who you're not. That's not who you really are, right? Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, we at our core, we have the Pintaliyah, the spark of divinity, which is inside of us. And so we have that good smell inside of us. We can smell when we don't smell right. We know ourselves when we've done something that's not really in consonance with who we really are at our essence. So that's one pshat in Reach Samasach, Reach Levonai. Now we're going to see the other pshat in the clothing that smell good is that it's referring to our clothing, the clothing that the Jewish people wore throughout their time in the Midbar, throughout their time in the wilderness, that had a good smell. Now we understand that a good smell doesn't just mean it smells nice. I mean, it could be it does. But it means something to do with Gan Eden, something to do with Levonai, with whiteness, with purity, with a lack of contamination. Shal Rabbi Elazar Ber Pshimen es Rabbi Shimon Ber Yosi ben Lakonya. Chamoy. Rabbi Elazar Ber Pshimen asked his father-in-law, I think it's his father-in-law, Rabbi Shimon Ber Yosi ben Lakonya. He said, Klei Karyos Yotzi Mishraelim Hidbar. How did the Jewish people have clothes in the wilderness? Did they walk out of Egypt with cloth machines that make cloth? Amalei Lav, he said no. Amalei Eichan Oyeloshin Koloisin Arbam Shonashos Yisrael Midbar. Practical question. How did the Jewish people have clothes in the wilderness? And one of the Mefarshim points out that you can't say that they were traveling businessmen, merchants who would come and sell to them. There was just not enough clothes for that amount of people. So, how did they have clothing for those 40 years? They were clothed by the angels. The Jewish people at Mount Sinai, at Har Sinai. So they had an incredible experience. They had an incredible spiritual experience. The heavens opened up. I read it once to you guys. Chafetz Chaim writes that they, it brings from the Zohar, I believe, that they experience the oneness of all of creation. They experience that there is one Hashem, that all of creation is an extension of Him. It was an awesome revelation at Har Sinai. Besides for that revelation where they saw that everything is connected, that there's an absolute oneness and a love, right? Vayichan Sham Neged Ahar, they had a love for each other, they were all connected, they were as one man with one heart. So besides for that amazing connection they had with all of reality and with each other and with Hashem, there were also Malachi Asharis. There were angels that appeared. These angels came down from heaven, or I don't know where the angels are, but they came down from wherever they are. And they, we all are familiar maybe with the fact that each Jew received two crowns. That was also part of what was given to them. But another thing that they received was these special clothing. They received special clothing at Mount Sinai. And we need to understand this. It's related very much to Yaakov and the clothes of Esav. Well, I don't know if I'll get into it deeply, but Yaakov took the clothing of Esav. That was the smell. Reach b'ni, kirech, the clothing smelled good. Because it was the clothing of Esav. Esav had stolen it from Nimrod. Nimrod had taken it from Cham, from Noah originally. And it was the clothing that originally were worn by Adam HaRishon, the first man, okay? And it had that smell of Gan Eden. It's a topic that I spoke about a few years ago, a year or two ago. But the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, they returned to the state of Adam HaRishon Kodem Achet, as we know. They came back to that exalted level of Adam before the sin. So in that moment, they received special garments that wouldn't wear out. Very interesting. And even though they sinned, they lost the crowns, but they did not lose these garments. So these were the garments that they wore throughout the 40 years in the Midbar. Those 40 years in the wilderness, they wore these special garments. Now listen, we're going to hear more about them, and then we're going to try to perhaps have a depth of understanding of what it means. What are these garments? But they were given to them by the Malachi Asharis, by the angels. By God's ministering angels. Though the Ksiv, Val Bishem Rikma, Pasuk says in Yechezkel, in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 10, it talks about Har Sinai, it talks about Mount Sinai, the revelation on Sinai. And it says that Hashem gave the Jewish people clothing, right? So it's interesting. Let's be clear. We talk about Malachim, we're talking about angels. They're just messengers of Hashem Himself. But Hashem dressed the Jewish people through these Malachi Asharis, through these angels, with these super clothes. It's some kind of garment that's made out of tchelis. Interesting. Made out of blue wool. With special blue wool that was dyed with the blood of the chilazon, which some surmise today that it's the murex trunculus snail. But they were given, it was a royal garment. It was a very rare type of dye, very expensive dye, royal blue or royal purple, that was used in garments of kings. And so each and every Jewish person standing there at Mount Sinai received a special garment, a beautiful garment, and it would never wear out. It would never wear out. That's one of the unique things about the connection of the blue or purple dye of the tchelis with wool, is that it stays steadfast and it doesn't fade. And it represents the malchus, the idea of kingship, the fact that we are the child of Hashem. We are God's children. And we are royalty. And our connection to Him never fades. The clothes never fade. Right? Adam's original garments never left because those garments were specially made by Hashem to remind Adam of his original state, that he was connected to Hashem, he's a child of Hashem, And that when he wears those garments, it reflects that. It reminds him of that. And so the Jewish people received, it sounds like, obviously I'm saying a pshat here in the Medrash, doesn't say this explicitly, but they received a similar type of garment. They went back to the state of Adam HaRishon Kodem HaChet. They received these special garments that would never fade, that would never wear out. So the Medrash says, Amar Levi, you'll call him. He says to him, they wouldn't get worn out. Amar Levi, v'lekrisim emecha. So he quotes him our pasuk in our Medrash, in our parsha, simlascha lebalsam elecha. Your clothing never wore out. It's actually a different pasuk elsewhere. It's the same idea. Did they grow? Did the people grow? Let's say a little kid got that garment when he was a child. He's 5 years old at Har Sinai. And he wears these clothes. And as he grows up, what happens? He needs a new pair of clothes. Didn't the people grow? Interestingly, he says, we can learn that from the chilazon, which is the very type of animal that you get the blue dye from. And if we say that it's a snail, it's very clear what the Medrash is saying. That it has clothing. It has a shell. And as the snail grows, which is the soft part of the snail, so its shell grows with it. And so too, these clothing would grow with it. They never needed to be cleaned? Didn't the clothing need cleaning? Did they ever get dirty? Interesting. The measure says that the clouds of Hashem's glory. Now these clouds, which represented, right? That's how they knew the Jewish people, that Hashem was with them. The clouds would come down upon the Mishkan, on the tabernacle, or if it was time for them to move, the clouds would rise up and they would start to follow the clouds. It represented the presence of Hashem. And at night there would be fire, and in the daytime they would just be maybe smoke or cloud-like. So some of these clothing would be cleaned by the clouds. Measure says, wait, but these clouds were not just clouds, they were fire. Wouldn't it burn the clothes? Measure says, which I'm going to explain according to the Meforshim, that you have clothing that can be made actually out of stone. I don't know how they would make clothing out of stone, but apparently there was such a thing. And when you make clothing out of stone, so then those, obviously, getting into a very small stones, excuse me. And the way to clean the stone garment is with fire. I believe that in a different place it says that they were spiritual garments, so they were, obviously could be cleaned spiritually. It's not a problem, they're not going to get burned. They didn't get moth bitten, the clothing. They didn't have any kind of worms that get into the clothes or lice. We find, the Medrash says, that when people would die in those times, their bodies would not be consumed. They would not deteriorate, interestingly. The Jews of that time, their physical bodies would not deteriorate, which is very interesting. And so the worms wouldn't get to the bodies. So certainly the worms didn't get to the clothing. But I think it's an interesting mashal because the clothing of the person reminds us that we're humans. I'm not just a physical being. I'm not just a monkey. I'm higher than that. I'm a spiritual being. That's what the clothes remind us. So if the clothes don't wear out, then the physical body also doesn't wear out. Even if the physical body may die, but it's not going to deteriorate. It's very interesting parallel. What about the bad smell from the sweat? Would the garments smell bad? Did they have to be washed? Major says that they would take, interesting, it's interesting because they wouldn't, I would have expected it to say that when it was cleaned by the Anon HaKavod, by the clouds of glory, so then it wouldn't smell bad. But that's not what it says. It says that there were grasses or herbs that would grow. There's another medrash which is quoted. It's elsewhere. It's in Bamidbar Rabbah Parsha Yotes Simcha Vav. I looked it up, and there it talks about the fact that the be'er, the water from the be'er, the water from the well of Miriam, would go around the entire encampment, and stuff would grow as a result of it. And amongst the things that would grow would be these herbs. And they would take these herbs and they would rub it against the clothes, or maybe it would make them not sweat. Maybe it was antiperspirant. The Pasuk says, which we say at Shal Shudas or other times, in the pleasant grasses God will cause me to rest. Midrash finishes off very interesting. And their smell would stretch from one edge of the earth to the other. This wonderful smell. That's what King Solomon is explaining when he says, the smell of your clothes is like the smell of Lebanon, the smell of that purity. And I think that if we think about this Midrash, it's clearly teaching us that just like Yaakov Avinu was the righteous individual who his father could smell, even though physically he might have smelled bad, but his father could smell the purity of his soul. It came in with him. That maybe was reflected by the clothing that he wore, which were the clothing of Adam HaRishon. That's the Salmai Sayich. See, those clothes have good smell, have a good smell. The Jewish people also had these clothes. We also had the clothes in the Midbar. The Jewish people in the Midbar, in the wilderness, we were being forged as a nation. 40 years, it's called the Dor Deah, the generation of knowledge. What did we do in the Midbar? We were studying the Torah. We're the foundation of the Jewish people. And we had this smell, which we got at Har Sinai from the Malachi Asharis, from the angels themselves. They gave us these clothes. They gave us the clothes of royalty. And it's the clothes of royalty that we all wear and never wear out and have a smell that goes from one end of the earth to the other. It's not a coincidence that the Jewish people, no matter where we are, everybody notices us. And you can tell if our smell is good or not. When we are keeping the Torah, when we are acting in consonance with Hashem's will, so then the smell is a great smell. The nations of the world are afraid of us. They see that we're wearing these garments of royalty. But when we're not properly acting in consonance with who we are as children of Hashem, so then suddenly the nations of the world say, oh, you're not doing your job. We're taking over. We're taking over. That's not a good place for us to be. So it's our job to recognize and remember that we are wearing these special garments. The special clothing, which show that we are royalty, we are Hashem's kids. I want to bless you, ask you to bless me. Hashem should help us to recognize and realize and internalize the clothing that we wear, that don't wear out. The fact that we have that pintel of yid, that Jew, that spark of divinity inside of us, we are royalty. Hashem should help us to see that we are princes and princesses. Hashem should help us to remember that and recognize that our clothes never wore out. And to this day, they remain the same. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful Shabbos. This podcast was made possible through the gracious donations of listeners like you. For more podcasts like this, please visit www.arigoldwag.com or search on iTunes, Ari Goldwag.